Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. Mike, another week in the books. We got three of them done. We're done with our out-of-conference schedule.
I know. I think this is kind of – everybody's kind of hoping for this. I think from internally, too, 3 weeks, same routine, all home games. And now, kind of get to take a deep breath. Guys are going to be headed on the road here this week. And I think everybody's kind of just ready for this bye week going into the Oregon game, just to kind of catch some air, look at things, especially operationally. A lot of people, around the football program to make things, tighter and more efficient. This is a great week for everybody to catch up. I know me and you've been talking. I've been pulled in all these different areas, trying to just make sure I'm staying organized. So, yeah, this week is much appreciated. And it was funny. I was on the way home from the game last night, and I heard our guy Steve Jones talking about how we can finally talk about Oregon. So I think everybody's excited to finally talk about Oregon.
Well, hey, I've been talking about Oregon since the final whistle in the semifinal game last year against Notre Dame, okay? Now, I know you've been telling me, you've been schooling me on this. 1-0 this week, you got to worry about the team coming in. I've been poo-pooing that, Mike, and it's been interesting. And I actually want to talk to you a little bit about that, where Penn State fans, you win 52-6, and it's not enough for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think in a lot of ways there are some legit issues that we saw, but it becomes the question of are there things going on in these games that I don't want to say the team's not trying to score, but they're also trying to learn things in these games. So there's a whole lot more going on than just the final score of the game.
Yeah, and, it's nice that, coach is going to make every team seem like, they're Alabama, but, the reality is, we're going to be able to play younger guys. We're going to be able to work on some things that we're going to really have to be good at and efficient at, when we do play Oregon in Big Ten conference play. So, not everything is going to be 78-0, but there's a lot of good that you can take from this. And it's good that, these things that we need to work on, even coach says, we need to work on third downs or whatever it be. Well, we've had 3 weeks to really kind of work on it. And now we're going into the bye week to really kind of get buttoned up in all these areas. So that's the advantage of playing these teams, lesser teams to some people, because you can work on those things. I'd rather, go through, maybe some third down issues versus Villanova than an Oregon or, some of these other teams that are playing, big P4 versus big P4. I think it's going to be a great week for our team. And I think that just makes it all that more exciting when you see us light it up, hopefully, versus Oregon.
Well, I think one of the things that happens too, Mike, and obviously we do this show multiple times a week, and this is the conversation. This is the game that we get to talk about. So we talk about it. We pick on the little things that go wrong.
Yeah.
But as soon as the whistle blows at the start of the Oregon game, all of this is forgotten. Play well against Oregon, and it's Villanova who? This whole out-of-conference schedule becomes irrelevant.
100%. Just the vibe from each week. The first game was great. Great vibes, the home opener. It was a beautiful day. Nothing better than a nice day in Happy Valley, tailgate scene, all that. Then the second game came, and it was – it was an early start, bad weather, just the juice wasn't completely there. And then last week or yesterday, everybody came out. I mean, I think it was like 108,000 or 109,000 that was announced final attendance. But still, the juice you can, the juice is just going to be a lot different stepping into Beaver Stadium before game, before kickoff. And I, that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited for that big time feel prior to kickoff.
Well, you hit it. And taking this as someone who really enjoys the tailgating aspect of the game, week two, some rain, it was not a great day weather-wise. This weekend, could it have been any nicer? This was like just an all-star weather weekend for tailgating. A 3:30 game is so much better than a noon game because you do get an opportunity to tailgate through the day. But it's interesting to me. You're talking about the team itself, everyone from inside. The folks that I've talked to, staff, just getting things working around the stadium, this has been the calm before the storm. And I talked to various people who, you know, it's almost the eyes lit up, grin on their face. Oh, man, it's go time. It's a whiteout. It's Oregon. It's nighttime. It's not just the team, not just the coaching staff. This is everybody, Mike, is pointing towards this game.
I know. And what makes it even more exciting is they're – Oregon looks good. That quarterback looks legit, right? And I have a ton of respect for Dan Lanning and what he does, and I think he's a hell of a coach. So that with that, you have Oregon, the brand, our history from last year with them. It's going to be so exciting. I just think our game day environment's already great, but the whiteout plus Oregon, who Oregon is and all that, it's going to be amazing, an amazing vibe.
I think for so many years, it was the whiteout was either Michigan or Ohio State, whoever the home team, home game was of those two, that would be the whiteout game. And they will always be huge games playing either one of those teams. So I don't want to say it got routine or boring, but the alternative is either, you know, a team that Penn State should win, you know, going in like they played in Minnesota for a whiteout. But here all of a sudden we have Oregon, who I don't know the last time if they were ever to Beaver Stadium. If they were, it was before any of us was born. And, you know, so and the same thing for Oregon coming in. That's got to be for them like, you know, this has been circled on their calendar forever, you know, to experience a whiteout. So I think this is going to be, if possible, a whiteout on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Like I said, I think, you know, like last year, I didn't get the same vibe as a normal whiteout that I've been a part of in the past, just because it was like on Peacock, correct me if I'm wrong, and it was versus Washington. That was, you know, kind of having a down year. Not a down year, but it wasn't peak Washington.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's gonna be really good. But I'm telling you that Dan Lanning does such a good job. I feel like coaching that team that I don't think they're not gonna be really intimidated coming into it. I think they'll have that initial shock, but I mean they played some big time football too. So I can't wait to see this game and how it plays out. I can't wait to see like our players like because. I wasn't very good, but players, they just naturally, like, they just get more hyped up when, you know, it's a good opponent, you know, and now we go into week three and coach and the staff having to keep everybody, the culture, 1-0, you know, this is, you know, Villanova, but we got to treat them like they're Ohio State type of deal. Like, that's tough, you know, for 3 weeks in a row to do that. So I think it's just going to be a completely different feel for these players when, you know, they walk in this building and then they see, yeah, it's what, 13 days away now. What? Not a Villanova logo, not a Nevada logo. You know, I bet you if you polled our players, I bet you half of them want to know what their Nevada's nickname was.
And I challenge, I think that percentage would be even higher for Florida International.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other part to this, though, is how important is that? How much differentiation is there when it's a big game versus a game? And again, these players only have a finite number of times to run out on that field, okay? So you want to think, okay, you're especially first game when that happened, you're excited. But these are all collegiate level athletes, even when you're playing in Nevada or Florida International. So how much, and for them, they're probably at the top of their game, the top of their motivation, running onto the field like Beaver Stadium in front of 100,000 fans when they're used to playing for 10,000 fans. So now an Oregon comes in, and just the hype, the adrenaline, everything else kicks up. How important is that? How much difference does that make on a football field?
It makes a big difference, I think. You know, when they finally get to that field and they're able to get in their pregame routine and it kicks off, you know, I think that there's an adrenaline and there's a whole buildup, right? You know, you get this nervousness feeling, game day, the whole leading up to it. You know, you go to pregame meal, it's usually pretty quiet. Everybody's starting to get focused. Coach has his message. And then you go on those blue buses and then you go over to the field. And it's, you know, that always as a player to me, and I can't even speak for a former Penn State player, but just for where I played, going into that, the tailgate, seeing everybody cheer you on, that gives you like, that's another like layer that you get more excited. And then you get off the bus and then those guys walk in and that you got the concert going on there. For Penn State, that team arrival, there's nothing like it. Obviously I'm biased, but I've been to a bunch of places. I haven't seen every place, but I would argue it's one of the best team arrivals in the country. So then they go through that, then they get in the locker room. I think when they hit the locker room, it hits. All right, it's time. You know, and then they continue with each guy's different. They continue with their process mentally, put on some headphones or they already have it. Then they go out, get, get a feel for the stadium. And then it starts just becoming more real. But I think that's when they kind of get in when the routine takes over. And Coach Franklin, you know, every day is, you know, obviously his mantra is 1-0. That's just not him. That's the coaches and the 80 other people that work in the building.
And I'm getting goosebumps already, and it's 2 weeks away. All right, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to talk to Mike about. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, you were giving us goosebumps at the end of Q1 talking about the whiteout game that's coming up against Oregon. And what's always fun for me is the crowd reaction for a whiteout, okay? When a few years ago, I don't think you were still here, when Michigan came in for a whiteout and had to call a timeout before they could even run their first play from scrimmage. You're coming from the sideline, okay? You're coming from the sideline, and you can't even get one play off without having to call a timeout because of the noise.
Yeah, no. You know, Coach talks about this too, P and 10. You know, the first play of the series, how yes. like some teams, they'll get caught up in like all emotions and everything, just like Michigan did, I think, too. And then they forget that the clock is different for a P and 10, right? So they have a less amount of time to get out there, yes. make their checks, do what they normally do. And then you add that first play of a whiteout. Yeah, that's tough, but you got to be on top of that and probably have a good game plan for that first series or two until things kind of get settled in. But, you know, and I think if you ask a lot of players, you know, the hype and the environment and all that stuff, so much fun, and it plays such a big part of why people come to Penn State. But, like, I think there's a time when, like, they're actually playing from whistle to whistle. You don't really hear the crowd. I promise you ask a couple players that, they'll say – yeah, we didn't. You can't hear the crowd when, like, you know, that ball is snapped. Now, after the play's dead, yeah, then you can hear the crowd a little bit. But whistle to whistle, I don't think players really hear that crowd.
Well, I would think, yeah, while the play's going on. But the one thing I do want to mention, too, is once the crowd realizes they're having an effect, like the game against Michigan that I mentioned where they had to call a timeout before the first play. Yeah. You're just playing into it at that point. The fans, oh my, all you got to do is let them know they're having an effect, and it just ramps it up even more, which again makes the atmosphere so much fun. And so the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and I know we'll get to the game, Villanova game. We will talk about it eventually here, Mike, but. So you got me off on this whiteout tangent, one of the great sporting that's the other thing. Okay, now I'm just going to talk as a fanboy. We are so fortunate as Penn State fans to have this thing that's like a bucket list item for people. And until you actually talk to someone, and I'm hoping from where we are in a tailgate, we're probably going to have some Oregon people there. This is a bucket list item. And we get it every single year.
Yeah. And you know what? Then I go to when I was here the first time, and then I kind of went off to a couple of other different stops. I've talked about it plenty of times on the show. You know, every school kind of prides their school with like that game, or for instance, Mississippi State was like the Cowbells.
Yeah.
You know, Virginia Tech was Enter Sandman, stuff like that. But they just have no idea. You know, it's like, when I go to those when I went to those places and they asked me, you know, how the whiteout is, it's like it doesn't even compare. Like you can't. Like, this is peanuts. What you guys are talking about? You're talking to me about a cowbell? It's 108,000 fans. No, it's real cute, but
it's cute. Well, you know, it's like, yeah, hold my beer. Let me explain to you the real. And what was interesting, Mike, is. The 2005 team was honored, and it was in that 2005 season. It wasn't the official beginning of the whiteout, but it was sort of kind of the unofficial start. It was the first really big game when Penn State beat Ohio State here. I was in the alumni suite. The suites were swaying. They were moving. It literally moving. And it was the atmosphere that I think really kicked all this off that we're, you know, now just so used to. And it struck me when realizing that 20-year anniversary hit, probably all the students today have no memory of that game, obviously, because it was 20 years ago. And to imagine there was actually a time when Beaver Stadium was considered a quiet stadium.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it really, the whole, and see, I'm off on another tangent, but you and I and Chris Buchanani are going to be talking later this week. When we do, Chris is such a great student of Penn State history. We'll talk about it, and he'll be able to tell you what it was like. You know, you got the, if someone stood up in the stands, it's down in front, you know. Now everybody stands. It's just a totally different atmosphere. It's incredible. Well, yeah. All right. Mike, as promised, we're going to actually talk about some actual football that happened with the Villanova game. Again, like I said, it's unusual to have complaints for a 52-6 win, but there still are. There were some the feeling that on offense, it's not quite clicking yet. I've heard people say it's clunky. It just not in sync. It's just not smooth yet. And you got to start the conversation with Drew Aller, who has not looked like the spectacular, perhaps the best returning quarterback in the country. The numbers weren't great, but I told you before we started the show, I looked to see he was either 0-4 or 0-5 in third down passing attempts. And we know against Oregon that's not good enough. And this has been kind of the case through this entire out-of-conference schedule. What can you tell us that you saw with Drew? Is there something going on? Is it just, hey, new receivers, got to get things, just got to click? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not very knee-jerk, but I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest. I think he's got, you know, the entire room in the receiver room looks different, right? So those are three players that he has never thrown to or played with in the past. So, and look at the offense last year. It was completely revolved around Tyler Warren, right? And rightfully so. But now it's a different offense. And so them getting the kinks worked out, that's why I said, you know, early in the show, it's awesome that we were able to do it against Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. Because I think, you know, coach won't tell you this or nobody else will tell you, but these guys mentally, they're going to turn it up this week and starting today when they walk in this building, they'll turn it up mentally, 100%. So, I think what we'll see, come in 2 weeks, everybody will be pretty happy. Cause they have 2 weeks to work this thing out, put in some wrinkles. Also, like, and I don't know this for a fact, but Colton Nickey does so many cool, creative things. He might be just holding some in the bag right now for this game, right? And moving on, maybe setting some things up to make it's like a chess game, right? He might be setting some things up to make Dan Lanning and his staff and the rest of the Big Ten think, oh, this is what they're gonna do this year, and then he may come out and be completely different or throw out some wrinkles that Oregon had no idea that he would do. But that's Colton Nickey. He is so creative in the things that he can do from his formations, emotioning, and all that stuff.
Well, one of the things I get the impression that, and again, I know this is not the kind of thing the coaching staff wants to hear, but these aren't games that were ever in doubt. At no point were any of these three games in doubt. And I wonder if it also creates a little different incentive. The obvious thing is, okay, this is our opportunity to play a lot of people, including young people, and finding out if they're ready for prime time. I found it fascinating. I think it was last week's press conference where James Franklin was talking about Chaz Coleman, who made that wonderful play at the end of the game. And was asked about him. He said, well, you know, we're rotating in a lot of people, like three deep. Pretty soon it'll be two deep, which means Chaz Coleman will be in there more often. He'll get more of a chance to make plays. Well, it makes me think part of the whole model here was to find out if Chaz Coleman can be part of a two deep when the games get serious.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mentioned this last week. That was the big thing to me that I realized this team is going to be driven by that D line. And you know, how well they play this year is probably the determining factor how far we go, I think. But there's going to be complimentary football, right? The offense is going to turn it up. It might be Oregon where they score 40 some points. And the defense, you know, maybe isn't as stout as they've been the first three games. That's football. You know, they got to complement the offense. Offense got to complement the defense and special teams, which is playing well. So, yeah, it all works out, especially when you have the pieces here like we do and the depth like we do here. It'll all work out.
So, yeah, you're finding out with that depth who are the guys who can be part of the two deep and be there.
Yeah.
But I also think, and you alluded to this, I think the play calling is a bit different. You know, if it's third and five and we have in our back pocket the plays that we feel really confident in, well, maybe it's now this is a good testing ground to try something different. To see if we can do other things other than just, like I said, the plays that we feel the best about, this is the time to stretch ourselves and try something new.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Coach Kolnicki, so creative. Like he probably has a million different things in his bag that he's ready to roll out. And he's probably just like dying to do it, but knows, you know, he wants to save it for those guys. I don't know that for a fact, but I think you see that in when you follow or you have a team with a creative offensive mind like Kolnicki.
Exactly. Now, we're up against the end of the segment, Mike, but you and I have known each other now for a lot of months.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've learned this about me yet. You probably have. One of my favorite things in the world is being right, okay? And I will then go search for information, for data that will support what I'm saying to prove I'm right, okay? And of course, if the data doesn't support it, I just ignore that data. When we come back, next segment, I'm going to support some of my theories, and I want to get your take. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective that supports over 30 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. I'm Jim Galante, along with Executive Director at HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, when we wrapped up quarter two, I was telling you, if you don't already know this, I like being right about stuff. Okay.
That's right.
And when it comes to fruition, I will let people know. It's generally, in general terms, it's an I told you so. But you remember, you know, and probably even a couple months ago when we've done this show, I talked about Drew Aller in the two-minute offense. And I feel like he's just so good at it. I don't know if it's just he thinks too much otherwise, but now all of a sudden everybody else in the media is jumping on this. He plays so well, two-minute warning. I'll give you a couple quick numbers. This is what I meant when I said I go to find numbers that support my theory. Okay. In that drive, which 36 seconds was all that came off the clock, seven plays, they covered 70 yards. In that drive, he was 4 for 5 passing for 54 yards. The rest of the game, he 50% of his passes he completed, 12 of 24. My point being is I don't think he's given enough credit for his abilities in that two-minute offense. And what could we learn, though, from the success that Drew seems to have in the two-minute offense?
I don't know. I kind of – the whole Drew narrative is so interesting to me. There's these quarterbacks throughout the country and even in the NFL. They get this stigma for whatever reason. And everybody there's quarterbacks that could play – that could have the same exact numbers as Drew. Same exact. But people are going to, like, glorify him over it. Or they're going to, like, justify the weaknesses. But then there's the other people on the other side, and I feel like Drew is put in unfairly. They just scrutinize everything about him, and it's more like looking at, all right, what he did wrong versus what he did good, like you're kind of noting at with his two-minute warning numbers. So I just think, like, it's just unfair to him, but I kind of getting off track of what you initially
said. No, that's fine.
But he is so impressive how he handles all of this, especially from a social media standpoint. He had the self-awareness, you know, after a sophomore year, just to get off of Twitter, get off of social media, which speaks, you know, to him and his growth and just really, really impressive. So I don't think it really gets to him, but, you know, to your back to what you were bringing up, that's going to be great, right? That's great because he feels comfortable in that position. So when we get into those, before this, any kind of two-minute situation or four-minute situation, you got to feel comfortable with Drew back there based off those numbers that you said. I guess it's just the other stuff that people want to see is those third down conversions and all that.
Well, yes. And I'm very much a Drew Aller guy. And but I don't think he's been at his best so far this season.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't disagree with that.
And I think just like we talked about the team at the start and sluggish or whatever for these first three games, totally irrelevant now that the Oregon game's coming up. Mm-hmm. Everything that's trying – it doesn't matter.
These type of games – it's kind of how you build on your legacy, right? And for a guy like Drew that's been here, won some really big games, went deep in the playoffs last year, like this is just another game that, you know, people will remember him for and how he plays.
And I know, you know, James has heard it. I know the media has asked him about it nonstop, you know, the record against top five teams on and on. In so many ways, I feel both James and Drew – are tied together in these kind of games where all that's going to matter at the end is, will you win one or two of these huge games this year? Oregon and Ohio State are both on the regular season schedule. And I've got to think that both James Franklin and Drew Aller are looking at this Oregon game as this is an opportunity. All those negatives, all of that, that all goes away. You beat Oregon and teams like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of just catapults you to the fandom will go crazy. Right. And then,
oh yes.
Yeah. You know, and then, but then the team gets confident, you know, based on, you know, beating a team like that is huge with their confidence going into the Big Ten play and some of these tougher matchups they're going to have. Cause like I said, they're playing, you know, these teams, Villanova, FIU, who they should beat. So, you know, they hear that, they know, you know, regardless, they know they're 40 point, favorites or whatever, like that changes now, you know what I mean? They know that they're good football players. They recruit well over there. They got a really good coach. They're familiar with them. They played them last year, you know? So it's a whole nother game, for them and mentally everything. And then if they win this game, now they're like, okay, we just did that. We just beat them. We can probably beat anybody in the country. That's the kind of confidence that they'll have once they get through a game like this.
Yes, and I know it goes contrary to everything the team talks about with the 1-0 mantra and all that. I've been saying, again, since that Notre Dame game a year ago, this is the game. I think it's the most important game of the season. You win this, the confidence level goes way up, like you said. And now I'll admit to, and I've said this on the air a lot, and I always preface it with, it's probably the dumbest thing in the world, quote, I've ever said, but I still stand by it. Guys who've never won the big game until they win the big game. You know, Ryan Day had that rep until a year ago. And every coach who's ever succeeded has probably had that reputation until you actually win that game. I think that's the opportunity next week for Drew Aller, or in 2 weeks. See, it's 2 weeks away, and I still want it to hurry up and get here, Mike.
Take your time. We need this bye week. We need this bye. Take your time.
We did. I need it also to settle down, get myself all. Hey, you do realize that, you know, Oregon for the team, the big whiteout game, we have a huge whiteout tailgate, okay? So the pressure's on also. That's our big game.
Yeah. I got to get to that tailgate.
You better come over. We got a few surprises in order for you, but you've got to come over to our tailgate for the Oregon game. So let's go back to talking some actual football. In this game, it kind of ties into what we're talking about with some of the goals are in these games, and you see it in the play calling, and we've been talking about it all along. I think the new receivers, the transfer portal receivers, I think a lot of the play calling seems to be, let's get these guys integrated. And we saw some of that. And I think one of the guys this week, Trevor Pena, not only was he targeted 7 times, he actually ran the ball 4 times, Mike. 4 carries, 33 yards, you know, that kind of reverse action. 2 things. Number one, it really feels like they want to integrate him into this offense. And number two, especially with that reverse action, that could be like what you talked about, a precursor to other things in the play calling.
Yeah. I think it was after the first or second game. Yeah, no, it was the first game. I was like, yeah, I think he's a lot better than I initially thought. I thought he was good, but all around he's more versatile than I originally thought. And like even that pass that Drew, I forget, was it either the first or the second one. It was a hell of a pass by Drew to rope it in there. And then he just makes it seem so easy. I was talking to our GM, Andy Frank, about that. I was like, his hands is so natural and just looks so smooth and easy with him. And then you add that with his other things, with his quickness, his ability, you know, his IQ, everything. Like he's a stud. He is a stud for us, and he's going to be coming up clutch.
And when you see, when you just start talking about the things, that arm talent from a guy like him, and to have a receiver who is sure-handed, runs the proper routes, those are the things that you say, hey, there's such a high side here.
Oh, so much. And then you add Cole Nicky with the things that he probably has in his bag right now that you guys haven't seen or our fans haven't seen. So, yeah, I think we're in a good position going into this week, especially with the bye week leading up to it. That is huge.
And the other thing, you mentioned real early in the show about how the offense a year ago was built around Tyler Warren. And I don't want to say the tight ends were forgotten, but I think there was some emphasis to integrate, you know, the wide receivers into this. But the last 2 weeks, I think, has been, hey, we got a pretty special tight end in Luke Reynolds. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to mention how many times they were targeted and how many catches they had. Luke Reynolds targeted 5 times, 4 catches, 73 total yards after the carry, after the catch. 46 yards.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him last week. Kind of broke out, or he was getting a rhythm, him and Drew. So, yeah, that's going to continue to happen. I think he's going to be kind of his go-to guy. But also you have Dinkin Rapp too right there that are playing a ton. And especially in the blocking game, those guys are awesome. Those guys are studs. if you really like football and the tight end position, and I play tight end, so I like the tight end that could kind of do it all. You have three guys right there that kind of they can do it all, and they do it all well.
Well, one of the things, and I've kind of over the years changed how I've watched the game, and I keep notes when I watch the game, you know, handwritten notes, Mike. I'm the last guy in the world who still does that. And at least half my notes are on this play, this block was made. And so often it's one of these tight ends who's leading the way. You know, it's he's the lead blocker that the running back is following. And, you know, I almost now, like I said, I watch the game a little bit differently. It's okay. It's not just Nick Singleton with the big run. Somebody sprung him open for that. It's more often than not, it's the tight end making that lead block. Mike, we got one more quarter left. When we get back, I want to talk to you again about some of these young players who are starting to say, hey, I belong on the field. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. With us is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter four of our show. Mike, we've probably been talking more about Oregon coming up than Villanova game, which that's warranted. But with that said, what I love about these games is it gives us a preview to some of the young players who are coming up and making their mark already. And it's always fascinating to me. I was just talking to somebody, I think it was at the game itself, at one of the tailgates. Well, they better win this year because you'll lose so much talent for next year. And I'm like, well, are you paying attention to the new guys coming in who are making their mark? And we've been talking for a couple, well, over a month or two about Chaz Coleman, a particularly favorite of yours. You've talked about him before everybody else did. Mm-hmm. But now another guy, Jahmyr Joseph, young guy, makes the interception. I get it. It's late in the game, but it's a nice interception. The return, he looks like a running back. So you know more about him. You've seen him. What's he like? Is this another one of these guys who's going to be a player?
Yeah, I think the overall class, there's a lot of guys like that. A lot of guys just they could play, but they, you know, based on the position, the depth of that position that they're at, you know, they just may not be seeing some playing time, just as like Chaz is and Jahmyr and Darius is right now. But yeah, these guys are really good, and Jahmyr is like a long guy. I remember the first time I saw him, like, oh, he's really long. Like, really, and he's a great kid too. A lot of these guys are just good dudes. And Jahmyr is one of those guys. I kind of want to take a step back though and look at it from like a philosophy standpoint. Like, when you hear Coach Franklin preach, and he's not lying, like, you look at our structure right now, is he's not going to take a team full of transfers, right? He's still going to be a developmental place, right? So, if we're able to retain guys and we're developmental with peppering in the the portal players and places that we may need them, then these younger, we're always going to be able to reload, right? So we're going to be losing these players, but like, man, Chaz getting all this playing time, Jameer getting all this playing time, Darius getting all this playing time, that's going to be huge for their confidence and their development going into the next year when then they have to step up because all those older guys move on. So, yeah, I think Penn State as a whole is in a really good place when it comes to player retention, taking a couple guys from the portal but not living in there, and then developing those young guys, and then even take a step back further is recruiting. We're doing a really good job recruiting and IDing guys and not just going off of star rankings and everything. But, yeah, all of those different things are working well for us right now at Penn State. And you can see when you see a guy like Jameer out there, like you said, looks like a running back when he's got the ball in your hand. So anytime you got a guy like that, that's pretty good to have a guy like that.
Well, that great athleticism, it translates whichever side of the ball you're on. But the other guy I wanted to ask you about, and you mentioned him again, Darius Dixon. You know, that's not a position you think in terms of, oh, you know, a young guy can come right in and play, because you make a mistake, it's a costly one, okay? A big play could happen. But I'm impressed with how much he's playing, how much he's playing early in the game. It feels like he's part of the rotation, Mike, a very critical position. And I know you've talked about him before, maybe just a little more about he came out of a big program in California. So he came in kind of as a ready-made player, which is crazy at that position.
Yeah, I remember talking about this during winter workouts. He was one of the guys that kind of stood out to a lot of people, and Coach Smith, Terry Smith, you know, he's just steady. He already has like a work ethic that is like, you know, transitions well to college, just because he's basically in the minor league college program at Modern Day in California. And he goes about his business kind of like a professional. He's more mature than you would think. You wouldn't think he's a freshman. But also him, these guys getting playing time out there, if they make a mistake, well, we're up 50-0, right? It's against FIU. It's against Nevada. You know, like it's good. This is great for the development. I keep talking about that, but actually getting out there on the field in Beaver is huge for these young guys' confidence. They were just playing in high school last year. Right. So getting out there, getting that confidence, and like, you know, they're obviously confident in themselves, but then to make plays out there when it really matters, well, that only just like reminds them, oh yeah, I am that good. I can do this. All right. And then just builds that's just part of the progression of their development.
And I thought it was great at the end of the game, and ended up scoring on the very last play of the game. By the way, back, who was chased down, got out of the pocket. The receiver made a fantastic catch. It was a highlight catch. Credit to them, great play. But in that last drive, in trying to preserve the shutout, it gave the players that were in on that defensive stand kind of a feel for playing meaningful minutes, because it felt like something was at stake with the shutout. But how important was it also? James Franklin was still coaching really hard then. And I know there will probably be people who make fun. You're up 52-0. Why are you calling a timeout? But what does it mean to those players that the coach is still coaching the game like it's a tie game while they're in there playing?
Yeah, I mean, take advantage of all these, maximize every opportunity, and that's what Coach is doing. Like, you saw it in the FIU game, too, at the end of the game. Like, he's trying to maximize every situation so the players get that experience in that certain situation. So when it matters, they already have that experience. Like, that's just smart on Coach's part to make sure you do that. And, yeah, like I was telling you earlier, like, yeah, that's a bad beat from – it was probably on Scott Van Pelt's bad beats. Because heard it. I wasn't in the stadium watching it, and I heard it, and I was like, because I think it was like 51 or something like that.
You know, the spread was like 48 or so, and you're up 52-0.
It's just nuts, these sharks out there, how they can get that stuff right.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I do a show during the week with someone who makes, you know, their picks against the spread. And, you know, the first, I think James keeps coaching to the very end. So I think he's good at winning these games and beating the spread. And finally, you know, after two games of knock, I just said, don't touch games. Don't touch them when the spread is over 40 points. Because it'll break your heart. and that's what happened at the end of that game. All right, you know, that game, fine. The whole out-of-conference schedule now, Mike, it's in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
We will be together next week to talk before Oregon. But let me just ask you a little bit about this bye week coming up. You started to touch on it. What's different this week? What does the schedule look like for the players? And what does it look like for the coaches where it's an off week? So are they on the road? How does this week work differently than a game week?
Yeah, it's much different. One, you're going to be able to get your guys kind of that are dinged up. You're going to get them fresh. That's number one. You got to get them fresh and all healthy. And then the coaches, I think they'll have basically a 3 to 4 day, and so maybe Wednesday or Thursday will be kind of normal from a practice standpoint. But the practices generally look a little different. You know, you're getting a lot of your young guys, your young pups in there while you're still trying to introduce Oregon and some concepts on both sides of the ball, all three sides of the ball. And then usually the coaches, they go on the road. They hit the road hard. And that's a whole, like, obviously I've done that the last like 10 years. So like that process, get ready for this week. There is a lot that goes in it because you're coordinating, you're trying to maximize each coach's time out on the road. So there's a very calculated science to that. And you also have to work around coaches' schedule because now, you know, at these schools, you know, you got a private jet, you're flying them, you know, three different places one day to maximize that day. There's a lot of coordination that goes into that to maximize it, right? So that probably kicks off Wednesday night or Thursday morning. But yeah, and then players will get off this weekend. A lot of the guys, a lot of the support staff in the building will probably get some time off come Friday. So it's a really good week, especially leading up into the monster that Oregon is, because even, you know, it's big, it's great for the fans and the players, right? It's a little different, right? When, all right, we got the whiteout, it's against Oregon, right? The same with the support staff. There's a lot, there's a lot more pressure to make sure that we're kind of like we're being efficient and we're making things work.
Everyone's got to have their game really on point.
Everybody,
for this one.
Yeah.
And I don't think fans realize the logistics that go just even into the travel that the coaches do and coordinate all that. Now, how about the players themselves? Do they manage? It's such a long season now with an off week, with a big game coming up. Will they get like freed up like over the weekend when the coaches are doing so much recruiting travel? Does it give the players like a day or two off, just clear their head a little bit, get a little bit of a break?
Yeah, I think so. But they're, you know, they're wired now. You know, going into week four, they got their routine every day of the week. You know, so I don't know exactly what the schedule is, but I would assume they're still going to do meetings all the way up to Friday. And even with the coaches gone, you know, we have a huge staff of really good, really good coaches that aren't the full time assistant coach that can go out on the road. So I'm sure Trace is going to be here coaching up Drew, and all the other analysts and GAs will be, you know, really hitting hard with those guys. But this is a really good week, and especially from Coach Franklin, how calculated he is, especially from a sports science, he'll work with Nelly and the strength staff and Chuck Losey to see like, all right, how individually should they attack it for each person based on the numbers and what the sports science says. That's a really cool aspect that a lot of people, they know that it's very relevant in college sports and especially college football. But when you see it real time and you meet somebody like Nelly it's really neat. It's really neat.
All right. Very good, Mike. As always, it goes way too fast. We all got a bye week. Next week, you and I will preview Oregon. How's that?
Heck yeah.
Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.